The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Jeremy Pruitt is at the podium. Ladies and gentlemen, Pruitt at the podium.
He needs to announce his presence with authority.
So far, so good.
Tennessee is at SEC Media Days. I don't understand what you're talking about. That, there's nothing wrong with that suit. I mean, sure, it's a little bit shiny.
I'm not passing judgment.
It's a little shiny, well, sure.
Look, the suit is the talk of social media so far. Yeah, that's like what – I mean, he just got there, and apparently he did the thing. They've got a half-hour press conference, right, in the big ballroom.
Right.
And – usually a coach will go up there and give like a 5-10 minute introductory thing and then spend the rest of the time answering questions. Pruitt today.
You give a dissertation. There he goes. He's off now. Look at him.
He went ball control. All right. Pruitt spoke, gave a 21-minute opening statement.
But he only left him 9 minutes for questions?
Yeah.
That's a boss move right there. That's
running out the clock.
That's power.
Little four corners offense,
yeah,
by Pruitt today. But the talk is definitely the suit.
Why?
I guess it looks kind of plain. I don't know. I mean, what's
I don't feel like any of the three of us can say anything. I mean, I'm looking around the room. Parker's got on some kind of big red chewing gum T-shirt.
Okay.
I'm wearing my customary fresh gray tee.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got that moth-bitten, you know.
What are you talking about?
That thing should be in the rag bin.
Fresh golf shirt. I never wear this thing. It's my CAK coach's polo.
Yeah. Leave that thing laying around. See what happens.
It's given to me by Rusty Bradley himself.
I will fly it by drone to the top of the radio tower.
Hey, man, this is a championship team's gear. Show a little respect. But we're not football coaches. Jeremy Pruitt makes $4 million a year. And I guess people thought, I don't know, you know.
Are you going to tell that dude how to dress? I mean, who's having that conversation with him?
Well, I do think.
Fulmer?
I don't know. Somebody ought to pull him aside and be like, look, you know, it's SEC Media Days. You want to go down there and you want to be looking sharp. You know, you're representing the university and your football program. And no, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Yes, it's about practice. It's about winning games. It's about recruiting, all that stuff. What happens today is not going to have much of an impact, but it kind of does have an impact on recruiting because a lot of people watch this stuff today. It's the official, unofficial kickoff of the season.
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't look terrible out there. It just looks a little plain, I guess. It looks like one of the first suits you buy, like a, you know.
You know what, man?
He's shopping at JCPenney, which nothing wrong with that. Like, you can get a nice suit there. That's probably where I would get my suit. But a lot of these guys are going to show up in, like,
Armani?
Something that was custom made by a really expensive tailor. Yeah, and it is going to be really.
Man, I don't care if he comes out there and looking like he raided, you know, Herb Tarlick's closet from WKRP in Cincinnati. I don't care. He just needs to win football games.
I'm hearing that the stream is down. Did the stream go down for a minute?
Yeah.
Is it back? Can we get Parker, his mic on?
The internet's out, so.
The internet's out?
We cut our stream, so. Just restarted it.
So we've got no signal from Hoover.
Why does that always happen at the top of the hour? It happens at 3 or 4 o'clock. Like every day.
It's usually like 3.
I mean, could
something be afoot here at Fan Run?
Well, it's going to shock a lot of people. We have Comcast internet.
Well, I mean, they absolutely suck.
Well, let me know when we're back up and running so I can tweet that out. to our legions of adoring fans.
Of which there are many.
More and more each day. Getting ready for a big season here. We're excited about it, man. I'm excited about it.
I'm starting to catch it a little bit. I was thinking about it today.
Yeah,
you can start to taste it a little bit.
Woke up to some good news. Had an email from an advertiser that's signed back on, Qdoba of Knoxville.
Qdoba.
Have them back on. So, I mean, things are going well. We're having a great advertising campaign and all that stuff. Now, if we could just get the football season to cooperate a little bit. Had Jabari Davis over to Stately Smith Manor today to record a podcast that'll drop hopefully later tonight.
This is the first one I've been jealous about.
Spoke for a long time. He's doing well.
That's fantastic.
He's really turned this – he's into this – not scouting, the camp scene. Like he goes around and does these camps all over the Southeast,
yeah,
all over Tennessee, and helps
like skills
people.
Camp.
Yeah, it's become lucrative for him. Like it's what he does. It's his full-time job.
He possesses a certain skill set that not everybody has.
I really wanted to talk to him about his recruitment because
was he the number one running back?
I think he was the number one running back in the country.
Yeah.
And we signed him and Cedric Houston in the same class. And this is before the star system.
We can do that again.
That would have been 2 5-star running backs that we signed in the same class. And, I mean, Bear, I don't know if you remember this, but this was a knockdown, drag-out recruitment between Tennessee and Georgia for
– Oh, yeah.
It was as bitterly contested. And the Georgia fans gave him hell, and to this day – give him hell.
Well, they can go to hell. He went to the right place.
And so that's what I wanted. And he was pretty humble about that. He had some good stories about it and everything. But the best part about it was, I was telling you before we came on, he told some stories about the Florida games.
Yeah.
He was 2-0 in the swamp.
I mean, he was, which year, 2003?
Yeah, I mean, he scored 2 touchdowns in the 0-1 game. Or
he was like, I told you, I've gone back and looked. It's funny which names pop out in, like, which big games. Jabari always played really well against Florida. It's just it's interesting to me to go back and look at the, you know, last time we beat, like, some of those big rivalry games and just looking back to see who balled out. But
yeah, so he had some good stories about those games and just the trash talk and the hate between Tennessee and Florida.
Oh, it was evident.
At that time was
Did it surprise
intense.
You a little bit? Because you told me it's some stuff, and I just kind of figured, I mean, it's funny to get confirmation,
well, said,
but it's pretty obvious they did not like each other.
The Florida players would talk trash to Fulmer on the field, like go right up to his face and cuss him.
I mean,
and
like,
just,
what would the captain do?
I mean, what can you do? 18-year-old kids. I mean, I guess you can chirp back a little bit if you want, but
go up and say something to Henderson and Haynesworth. Is what I would have done.
One of the things I thought Fulmer was really good at, and especially looking back on it, was blocking out all the outside noise. And he generally did not make. There weren't a lot of horrendous fourth down decisions or onside kick decisions or anything like that. He
played the odds.
He was somewhat conservative in his approach, but I don't look back on any specific game and say, well, you know, just a handful of decisions. You know, maybe the toss sweep against Florida in 2009 and 2000. And that is more Randy Sanders, I guess, you know. But I think Fulmer was good at that, and that's something I'm hoping Pruitt will continue to get better at. Are we back with the stream?
Yes.
We're back? Okay.
Yes.
The stream is strong. We are back.
The weirdest thing, or not weirdest, you would never know it, and you would have never known it whenever you met Jabari from the time he got here, that he was, you know, because a lot of times those kids that are the number one player or the number one player overall in the nation have, you know, somewhat of an attitude, mm-hmm. and it's just.
Well, back in those days, the team was so good, Bear, that you couldn't have that. Like, You might have that when you first – you might have arrived with that attitude, but the minute you see your teammates – Terry Fair tells a story of, like, he arrived from Arizona, and he was like the first freshman there that weekend, and he goes over to the weight room to get a workout in, and he says he's looking around at all these dudes with their shirt off, all swole up, just throwing up massive weight.
Yeah.
Jason Parker, Torrey Noel, like these other defensive backs. And Terry said, like, he just turned right around, walked back out, said, like, I'll do my stuff later. Like, he was too
intimidated.
Yeah. And he was
Terry Fair.
He's like, I don't know if I can, like, if I'm cut out for this. And Jabari said the same thing. He's like, okay, so I show up, and Travis Stevens is the man at running back, so I'm not going to start right away and get some carries. But first scrimmage, I'm third team. And so the way they did it, you're playing the first team, is that you're basically a scout team player. I'm lining up at running back. There's John Henderson and Albert Haynesworth.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
At 18 years old.
Yeah, that'll check whatever kind of attitude or delusions of grandeur you might have coming into it. You get rid of that real quick.
So when's this one dropping? I'm looking forward to this one.
I'll edit it up tonight and hopefully have it out tonight or tomorrow morning. So
cool deal.
We got that coming out. Yeah, Pruitt down there, SEC Media Days today. And what do you think about the suit, Parker? Jeremy Pruitt's suit. Is that
I like it. I think the only thing that could have been more Jeremy Pruitt is wearing, like, blue jeans with a suit jacket.
There might be. I mean, that might be kind of cool.
I mean, should they just go ahead and let the guy go down there how he wants to go down there dressed?
I think what Parker's saying,
he'll be in the orange, a nice
pair of jeans, maybe some loafers and a sport coat over a white button down would look better than what he has on today.
With the top button undone.
No time. I just let him go down there in like his Nike gear, his sideline gear, like, with a whistle,
gym shorts, and a pullover.
Yeah, one of those fancy Nike wind shirts, and just let him take his whistle and maybe a hat with him. He's a ball coach.
I had forgotten about the beef he had a couple of months ago with Barry Odom.
Talking
about Barry Odom yesterday, and I'd forgotten all about that.
Barry Odom don't want none.
Well, he said they talked it out.
Really?
Yeah, they had like a coaches meeting down in Birmingham. They got to meet face to face. He said it
sounds awfully mature for two meathead football coaches.
Oh yeah, they'll say it's water under the bridge, but there's heat there.
Coach Pruitt looks like the kind of guy, probably really easy to get, you know, to start heat with him.
Odom was steamed that Pruitt and Tennessee, I guess, was calling when the sanctions hit Missouri. They're on probation as it stands right now. They're appealing it. But when the sanctions hit, Tennessee started calling all their seniors and trying to get them transfer here.
Sure.
Multiple guys. And I guess Odom took offense, as we probably would, you know. But yeah, but it's also football.
Welcome to the good times, baby.
Yeah, it's cutthroat SEC football. And I'd say they probably say it's cool, but they probably want to rip each other's throat out on the field this year.
Oh, yeah. You think they really – I mean, they might have said they patched things up, but, I mean
– yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to come to blows there in Greg Sankey's office.
They aren't on each other's Christmas card list. I wouldn't imagine.
Isn't it sad, though?
But a certain level that we're beefing with Missouri. Like, we got to get back to beefing with Florida and Georgia. Like, Missouri should be, and I don't know, they weren't in the league back then.
We're damn 2-5 against them, Russ, since they joined the league. I just still say they don't fit.
Damn it.
And I promise it's not that we're not beating them kind of thing. I just don't like them being in the conference. It's just not a good rival.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes like 50. How long does it take to drive up to Columbia? 12, 13 hours?
At least 10 hours, I would say, probably. Yeah, that's a long haul. Read you some comments here so far. David Ubbin is doing a great job recording this. Trey's down there, too. He just put up some video. Look at Trey Wallace's Twitter feed if you want to see what Pruitt had to say about the Barry Odom beef that they were talking about. Couple of things of note. Pruitt said today that when this time last year, Tennessee had two offensive linemen over 300 pounds. Now they have 15.
Say that one more time.
This time last year, we had two offensive linemen that weighed 300 pounds. This time, now we have 15. So he recruited five guys, well, I guess four if you take out Melvin McBride, four, five, 300-pounders.
I give six.
And then
he
the
made
other
nine
one,
guys get up to 300?
Yeah, like guys like Tatum and Niehaus, Jameer Johnson, who are way undersized. He beefed all those dudes up.
Hmm.
So that's pretty good. Pruitt on his roster, quote, "We had a lot of big, long, skinny guys." We had a lot of big, long, skinny guys. Basically, our whole roster looked like Russell Smith. All right. Credits. Strength and conditioning coach Craig Fitzgerald and nutritionist Rachel Pfister for the job that they've done on that program. Breaking down his coaching staff, he says only four coaches from last year are doing the same job this year. Quote, "I think it's one of the best staffs, if not the best staff in the country."
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
What'd he say?
He says it's one of the best, if not the best staff in the country.
I feel like I've heard that before.
Absolutely ridiculous.
And he probably does. I mean, let's not act like this is, you know, that collection.
Well, he should for the money they spent on it, right?
We all know who they all are.
I mean, you've got a guy.
He's not trying to sell us a MAC-level coaching.
Your defensive coordinator was the highest-paid defensive backs coach in the NFL last year, and your offensive coordinator is a renowned quarterback whisperer and offensive guru.
I mean, if the coaching staff can gel and they can get the recruits in, there's just – if this doesn't work, I don't know what will, Russ.
Did not offer a status update on D'Angelo Gibbs, Aubrey Solomon, or Trey Smith for the fall. No update there. There was a lot of smoke last night that maybe something had come down with Aubrey Solomon and that Tennessee was going to get good news.
Wishful
there.
Thinking.
Yeah. But Tennessee feels good about the Aubrey Solomon thing. I think if you had to choose one guy amongst those three, you'd probably choose Trey Smith, right? If you could only have one of Trey Smith, Gibbs, and Solomon, really it's between Solomon and Trey Smith, right? Or do you take the defensive lineman?
Oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this.
I mean, it's not as dumb a question as it sounds like.
That's a hell of a great debate or hot question. If you could have one, which one would you pick?
Like, I think Trey Smith is the better player when healthy, but
Aubrey
Solomon might be mean more to the team.
Yeah.
Because we're so thin on D-line.
Now think about it long term. What if Trey can play the whole year? And it's a lot different when he's out there on the field playing with those young boys rather than being over on the sideline.
Yeah.
I mean, think how much a help that would be with Darnell Wright and Wanya Morris and the whole line.
The thing about the 300-pounder thing was evidently both lines. He said they had two 300-pounders on the entire roster last year. Now they've got 15. Wow.
And what'd he say? They were all long?
Long, skinny guys.
Had big frames, just no muscle on them. No weight.
See, Pruitt on 2018, quote, "We lose a couple of games because of mental errors. We lose a couple of games because we weren't competing as hard as we were earlier in the season. That's obviously my fault." Stepped up and owned it.
That's refreshing. It's been a minute since we had a coach that would do that here.
Reiterating something he's mentioned before this year, he was set on fixing everything in the program and lost some of his relationships with players. Resetting the coaching staff was a move to fix that. That's interesting. Basically saying he kind of lost the team there towards the end. Which was pretty obvious, but usually you don't hear a coach admit to that, right?
No, but I'm not going to say that, you know. I don't like that he did lose the team, but I give him credit for being man enough to admit it.
Here's the quote on Barry Odom. it's a pretty interesting deal, Pruitt said. It's amazing what can happen with social media and that. Said he called Barry Odom and they got on the same page and moved on. That sounds like a we'll agree to disagree type move to me. Jeremy Pruitt's opening statement, according to Dave Matter of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, was approximately 3,667 words, according to the transcript. How did they get that?
It was the longest statement ever.
Do they have like a court stenographer there, like sitting right there typing everything that he says, and then they look at it in a Word document?
I have no idea. He did say, did you see this one that Jeremy Pruitt on tweet that led to a minor NCAA violation? Quote, I don't tweet. I have someone else do it for me.
Oh, Pruitt said that?
he doesn't tweet.
How'd you like to be Pruitt's Twitter guy?
I mean, would you have to get in the mood if you're going to send one out?
What, like put a dip in and crank up Skinner?
Yeah.
What would Jeremy say? Brian says, I would choose Trey Smith because I know how good he is. That's a good point. We're projecting a lot of hope onto Aubrey Solomon just because he was a five-star and he's played a lot of football at Michigan.
He played at a fairly high level right off the bat with Michigan his freshman year.
Was he as good there as Trey Smith was as his freshman season in Knoxville?
I don't know.
I'm guessing probably not.
Probably, I mean, no, but I mean, Trey Smith showed glimpses of being a once-in-a-generational kind of talent. You know, not many – what, Cam Robinson was the last freshman to start and you know, manhandle people the way Trey Smith did down at Alabama. I mean, it doesn't happen often.
Pruitt's opening statement of over 3,600 words is equal to approximately 5.1 Emancipation Proclamations. Well,
yeah, I mean, a lot of that stuff's short. The Gettysburg Address wasn't real long.
Nope, about 4 minutes.
Very brief, to the point.
This is the thing about Lincoln, man. You get after it. Not a lot of wasted words, just very direct. Hey, when you're trying to hold the country together, you don't have time for a lot of filibustering.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on at SEC Media Days thus far. We'll keep you up to date. We're going to check in with Trey. He's down there following Pruitt around right now. He's going to try and break away and join us at some point.
Is he going to try and corral Coach and get a
– hand him the phone. He probably won't get that kind of time today, but we'll see. I don't know. We'll see what happens this afternoon here. In the meantime, we'll open up the phone lines here. 865-546-8200 is your number to get on the show, 546-8200. So, Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoke and hot question. If you had to choose – one, you get one player for 12 games, Trey Smith or Aubrey Solomon. I feel like if I put that on a poll, it's going to be at least
80%. 80-20. I don't know. I mean, because the thing that's wanting that makes me want to pick Solomon is we're really thin at defensive line. Well, and we're incredible on the back end.
Well, I just looked up Aubrey's stats from last season. He had one solo tackle.
But he was hurt.
Yeah, he had a knee injury.
Yeah, but he played two games, and he had one solo tackle.
Wonder when he hurt his knee.
But a lot of I mean, I'm not trying to make this dude sound like Reggie White. But a lot of it is also, and particularly in Tennessee's scheme, when you're playing a lot of 3-4, the defensive linemen are largely, it's a gap thing. You know, you got to, like, take up space, occupy these blockers, and free up the linebackers to make the plays. So, like, the tackle thing is not always the be-all, end-all. Bottom line, we need this dude eligible.
Yeah.
It would be huge.
Because he's capable. He's shown glimpses. He's capable of causing the offense to have two or three players to engage with him.
So we give you a choice here. You get one of two things happen, and the other one is not going to happen. So you have to choose which one you want. Aubrey Solomon gets immediate eligibility on the defensive line, or Trey Smith medically cleared to play and available for 12 games.
You're guaranteeing me Trey Smith's playing?
I'm giving you 12 games, yeah.
Hey, you got to take Trey Smith, man.
865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon, 546-8200. It is The Drive, live this afternoon on a beautiful sunny afternoon in West Knoxville. We'll take a quick break. Come right back with more after this.
The Drive. This is The Drive.
It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
Oh. All right. Two questions for you here this afternoon. Solomon or Smith?
I feel like that's going to be a runaway, boss.
Yeah. And this one might be more fun anyway. Jeremy Pruitt's suit today at SEC Media Days is A, awesome, B, awful, or C, who cares?
I'm going to go with C, but I do have a question. There's no way that guy's wearing dress socks, is there? Like, he's got on, like, his he's like,
white
Tennessee
tube
issued.
Socks?
Yeah, white tube socks with orange stripes on them or something.
Oh, man, I hate wearing dress shoes. I don't mind wearing dress clothes. I don't mind wearing like a suit, a shirt and tie or anything like that. But dress shoes, oh, it's just the worst.
Yeah, I went to a wedding recently, but it was on the beach and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Because I wore flip flops. I didn't have to wear dress shoes.
Uncomfortable, like it starts digging into your heels and everything. I know there are businessmen out there like, oh, you get used to it. My back hurts after like 3 hours and
yeah,
in dress shoes, even quote unquote comfortable, like a light, nice pair of slip-on loafers, like it's just the worst.
Well, I mean, you just don't wear it enough to where it would warrant going out and investing in a, because you can get stuff. I've had some shoes before where if you pay enough money, you stand in them all day long.
Right now, we've got about 70 votes cast on Twitter. 54% of the audience says
Trey Smith.
Who cares?
Okay.
39% say the suit is awesome. Only 7% say it's awful.
So it's, if you're going to wear bad suits, you ought to just go over the top with it.
So it's
like roll out there in something like Raleigh.
Well, he did have that plaid number, that plaid blazer that he wore on his TV show last year.
Yeah. I still think they ought to just let him go down there like he just stepped off the sidelines, whistle and all. He can put his hat in his back pocket when he gets up to the podium.
So 9% now say the suit is awful. So it is a loud minority of Tennessee fans making noise about this on social media, about his suit.
I haven't been on Twitter in a minute.
Good quote here from Trey Wallace. He got at the scene. Pruitt says, quote, "We have four seniors at wide receiver. Let me say that again. We have four seniors at wide receiver. If I was a high school receiver, I'd think Tennessee would be a pretty good landing spot for me." Pruitt using his time at the podium today to recruit a little bit.
The best ones do.
It's probably smart. Boy, that is four seniors at wide receiver. And the other part of that is if Josh Palmer erupts like some think he could,
it'd be five gone.
Yeah. That means that Keaton, Cedric Tillman, and Gerard Means, those guys better learn this year. They better be ready to play next year. And I guess we'll throw Jordan Murphy in that group as well. Those guys better be ready, and then you better sign some guys who can come in and play right away. Rakeem Jarrett, we're looking in your direction.
Oh, and Ramel.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's already on campus, so hopefully those guys develop quickly. By the way, what you talking about coming up today, the 5 o'clock hour, we got three more chances for you to qualify for Champions League, three more Champions League qualifiers.
This is shaping up to be a pretty competitive year.
Could be a knockdown dragout in Champions League. What you talking about, Champions League begins next week. Listen for your cue to call. We'll play about 5:15. This afternoon.
Where's Jamie? I mean, has he turned yellow on us?
Did he not win?
I don't think he won.
He played last week.
He didn't win.
He didn't win?
No.
Who's in? Do you have the list?
Yeah. You want it?
Yeah. Well, we've got six, right?
Yeah.
Six of nine?
Yep.
Nice.
We've got Marsh, Douglas, Alex, Dave, Chase, and Matty Ice.
Matty Ice. Who won yesterday?
Chase.
Okay.
So.
Stay tuned for your cue to call. What you talk about Champions League heating up here this summer on The Drive. Countdown is on. Apollo 11, 50-year anniversary of that launch.
I watched that. Did you see CBS News?
I was watching a lot of that this morning.
The live stream?
Yeah.
Yeah, I sat and watched it up through the launch.
Can you name the three astronauts from Apollo 11?
Yeah, Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, and Michael Collins.
Okay.
Read a book by Michael Collins.
Nobody knows about Michael Collins.
He wrote an incredible book.
Did you know about Michael Collins?
No, I was going to say that Glenn guy. What's his name?
John Glenn.
Glenn Shepard. John Glenn?
Probably.
No.
Yeah.
John Glenn.
I get the third one mixed up.
No. It was Michael Collins.
What did John Glenn? Was he first man American in space?
I think so. And then I can't remember. I think he may have made one of the lunar missions.
Who is?
Oh, that got really nasty politically between all those guys down there. Who got chosen for what missions?
Who was the first human in space?
Yuri Gagarin.
Yep.
I'm a space nut.
Who was the first American?
Shepard, but it was suborbital.
Alan Shepard.
Yeah. That was the one where they didn't know what was going to happen. They had filled him full of coffee for like 3 hours, and they strapped him in and bolted him in that thing, and then they had like four hours of delays. Okay.
Who performed the first spacewalk?
Wally Shearer?
I thought it was Buzz from Mercury.
Or Wally Shearer may have made the most.
Wally?
Yeah.
But these astronauts had such a cool name. Wally,
oh, no,
Neil,
it was,
Buzz.
Who was it?
Alexei Leonov.
Oh, Soviet,
Russian.
Yeah.
No telling how many Russians died in their attempts to get into space.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much every animal they sent up there died in space, and they just floated around.
I was watching a thing about the Apollo 11, and when – I can't remember if it was when they were on their way to the moon after they because it took them 4 days to get to the moon. And then they spent a day there and then came back. And at some point, Nixon and his press secretary are working on a statement. They have several different statements, right? A good statement, a bad statement, in between. And like the in between was the astronauts made it to the moon and they're stuck there and we can't get them back.
Yeah.
And it's just.
You have to have that stuff ready to go.
And his line was like, they came to the moon in peace, and now they will rest there in peace.
Jesus.
What would you do if you got stuck on the moon and like you've got probably some like freeze-dried food or so? Like you could hang out there for maybe a couple of weeks.
I'm telling you.
But you know there's no way you're coming back.
No, you need to read the book that Michael Collins wrote, because that all ran through his mind once those guys left with the lunar module.
And that then would he went suck,
around,
man.
He went around to the dark side of the moon.
By himself?
By himself in the command capsule. In the book, it's I'm telling you, it's a really, really good book, because this guy.
I'm so scared just thinking about that. By yourself on the dark side of the moon.
Completely cut off. You've got two of your buddies are on the moon, you know, however many miles below you.
Is that not terrifying?
That's what he talks about in the book. That's what I keep talking about. It's one of my favorite books. I haven't read it in a long time. I need to pick it back up.
So answer my question. Is this too macabre for you?
This? No.
What do you do if you're stranded on the moon and you know you can't get back? Do you just wait it out and starve to death? Or do you go ahead and like jump out and rip the helmet off and just go full, what was that movie, Total Recall?
No, I think what those guys would have done is they would have probably tried to science their way out of it until they just died. They wouldn't have given up. That's just how those guys
run out of oxygen probably.
Yeah. They would have died with their boots on fighting.
Is that what you would have done, Parker?
Yeah, they'd probably freeze to death before they lost the oxygen, though.
Moon, very inhospitable kind of place. It's not a planet. Somebody called it a planet today, I heard on the news.
Who called it a planet?
I'm not sure. I heard it as I was walking out the door. I was like, huh?
No, it's not a planet. President called it a planet. That's not his area of expertise. 50 years, man. 50 years. We need to get back to that, man. Like, so much division in our country, in our world right now.
Like, why did we stop?
Well, Neil Armstrong says that when the Soviet Union dissolved and we lost that spirit of competition, he thinks that's when it lost momentum. And I think he's right, because I remember, like, in the 80s growing up, when there were launches all the time, and you could see, like, you know, they had the shuttles out there, and the shuttles would open up and dudes were walking around and everything.
You know, how many shuttles did we lose?
Two, right? Just two.
Challenger and Columbia.
I think, though, like, if you had a thing today where we got together and NASA and whoever else, you know, let the Europeans or whoever else has money and want to chip in, let's go to Mars, man. Let's do it.
I mean, we've already kind of done that with...
Where's today's JFK? We put a man on Mars and do the other thing.
What's the satellite called?
Mir?
No.
International Space Station?
Yeah.
Let's do it, man.
You know, that's the most expensive thing ever built in the history of man.
Cost a pretty penny.
That, yeah, the International Space Station, yeah.
Was that movie with... I don't know how we got here. Is that movie with Billy Bob Thornton where he builds the rocket in his silo by himself? Is that based on a true story?
I'm not sure.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Parker? Or are you just like,
I've not watched it, but yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton and building a rocket.
No, it's a silly movie. It'd be impossible.
He was like an engineer, and he built his own rocket. He wanted to fly around, and he did. Like, he built the thing, and he like flew up there. It's like he built it once and it didn't work and he crashed and almost died, and he's like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that. And then he got all depressed, and his wife is like, well, this is what you have to do to be happy, then you might as well go do it. That's what his wife sounded like. So he's like, all right, I'm going to build the rocket again, even though I almost killed myself and broke my neck the first time. And then it did, and he shot himself out of a silo. The government told him not to do it, but he's like, hell with you, this is America, you can't tell me what to do with my property. Yeah. Blasted himself up. You don't own space. Blasted himself up there, flew around, and made it back safely. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I don't think you have to look that up, Parker. I don't think that's based on. I don't think that's factual.
There's no way it could be. The closest thing was that guy that built a rocket to prove that the Earth was flat.
Yeah.
That's the closest thing. Because you got to get 62 miles in the air to get to space.
How high did the Red Bull guy get?
I mean...
Wasn't he on the edge of space?
He was in space, yeah.
Well, there was also a guy.
He wasn't in space.
Well, I mean,
he
was not on the orbital edge of space or anything, yeah. But
if he didn't have that tether, he would have floated away, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, no, he wouldn't have, because he jumped.
Yeah, he jumped, and he immediately started to say, yeah.
That was weird, though. What was he sitting on?
It was like just a little ledge. Platform. Was it tethered to something? Or did it just go up?
Yeah, it was tethered to a balloon, a gigantic like weather balloon. It just took him straight up.
There was also a guy in the 80s. I remember this news story. He tied a bunch of weather balloons to a lawn chair. Yeah. And ended up like 30,000 feet up. Like, planes are flying by and everything.
Yeah, he got up in the commercial airspace is where he got up to.
Did he die?
I can't remember.
Surely he died. Like, how do you get down from that?
Pop a balloon. But with some of those gases, they expand. I've been watching a lot of PBS during the summer because I've watched everything. And they had this show called American Experience. But they talked about in the 50s, we used to do these manned balloon flights to the outer edges of the atmosphere. Those guys were nuts.
Chuck Yeager and those guys just flying.
You
see that movie, The Right Stuff? You've seen The Right Stuff.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
He turns as it far as it'll go, it just straight up in the air, and then, like, it turns black, and he sees space for just a second.
And then he almost dies.
Yeah.
What was it? The plane spun, flat spun 27 times on the way down. He ejected it after 26. So he rode that thing all the way down to try and regain control over it.
Tyler says Red Bull guy was jumping from 24 miles above Earth, 128,000 feet, and he broke the sound barrier at 690 miles per hour. He was falling for 20 minutes, a 20-minute free fall. 690 miles per hour. Like, how does the human body even stay intact? Human body's pretty amazing.
Because he was practically wearing, like, a spacesuit. If you go back and look. I mean, yeah, he had on a pressure suit. He would have died immediately.
Unbelievable. All right, so look, folks, it's a slow sports day. There, nothing is happening today in sports other than Jeremy Pruitt at SEC Media Days, and we're keeping an eye on that. We're going to get Trey on here in just a minute with a live report from the scene, but just go ahead and tell you now, it's going to be one of those shows, man. We're going to cover a lot of ground. There's a lot of things we got to talk about here. We got What You Talk About coming up. We do have the British Open this week. I do have a report on Vols in the NBA Summer League. We do have a couple of law enforcement updates. Operation Southern Shield has kicked off, Bear. You aware of Operation Southern Shield?
No.
Basically, cops all over the Southeast are going to be writing a lot of tickets. Be on your P's and Q's.
Really?
Is it my be on your P's and Q's?
Mind your P's and Q's.
Can you be on your P's and Q's?
No.
No, that's not something people say.
It's mind your P's and Q's.
Yeah.
I say mind your business a lot.
Dot your I's and cross your T's.
Yeah. Say that a lot too. Dot your I's and cross your T's.
What does mind your P's and Q's mean? Why do
I
say that?
I have no idea. It sounds like something my granny would have said.
We'll keep you up to date on that. A lot to get to here this afternoon. Not necessarily a lot of sports, but we're going to try our best to keep it entertaining. Stay with us. It's The Drive right here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Getting old stinks, man. About to turn 39. Got 1 year of my 30s left.
Enjoy it.
Do you have the problem I'm talking about?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, it's just me.
But my problem is that I walk around probably halfway dehydrated all the time.
Yeah, I'm like the opposite.
Yeah. I was real bad about it a few summers ago. I was landscaping, working for a landscaping company.
Well, that's not good. Let's go to the phones here. 865-546-8200. This is what you have to look forward to, Parker. You start staring down the barrel of 40 here. And it's going to happen a lot. You're like, oh, my God. I mean,
he's so far away.
Look
how high his forehead
is already. It's
going to happen
tomorrow.
There's people like you. There's people like Roger Federer.
Uh-huh.
Just I hope I'm –
what's that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
Like Federer?
I think you're going to be more like Agassi. I wouldn't be too attached to that shock of, you know, nice brown hair on top of your head.
Yeah.
How old are you?
22.
Look how far back that hairline is already. Woo!
You start talking about, I got a leg, my knee, arthritis. It's always sore. It hurts. It's bad.
The doctor says I'm not supposed to walk up a slope.
Oh, my doctor said to watch my fruit intake. I get too much fiber, and then it's not good for my bowel movement. Let's get Tweet in here. John Tweet, you're on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Good afternoon, sir.
Was that a Mort from Family Guy?
It's just it was one of the Jerky Boys characters. Saul.
Oh.
It's Saul.
Oh. I'll be right
Mort's
over.
One of the best characters
all my shoes
on that show.
And all my glasses. Can I sue you?
Oh, God. Boys, that was the jump was from 24 miles.
Yeah.
I think four or five different cameras all showing the Earth is round or a sphere. I'm curious as to what do you think a flat earther, what would be acceptable proof for them? I'm curious to hear from T-Carp. Like, what's acceptable
We are not turning the rest of this show into...
You just said it's a non-sports week. What are you doing?
I'll play
better
along.
To talk about?
Good point.
What are we doing?
This is just our.
No, I don't think there's anything you can.
No.
They've got a refutation for everything.
Everything.
Yeah. And they will gladly send you links to like 15 YouTube videos.
Oh yeah, done by no reputable person.
No,
some YouTuber
that defies all the known laws of physics, quantum physics, anything
everything.
Having remotely to do with scientific fact.
Everybody's in. The whole scientific community's in on the lie. There's only a few select people that know the truth that it's really flat.
Red
everybody's
pills.
In on it. I mean, you couldn't even keep a secret between you, Parker, and Russ. how are you going to keep it between the entire scientific community?
No, we can keep a good secret.
I know you can.
In this place? There no, are no can't. Secrets in this place.
There's a couple.
There's somebody
no,
knows.
There's not. Whatever you think it is, you know, Bear, that whatever you think you know that I don't know, I know. We just don't talk about it.
So I genuinely am curious as to what would be acceptable proof for them. Like what they would have to see. They would say it was doctored no matter what you did.
You could take them up in the rocket.
Them in Soyuz, take them up to the International Space Station, take them out to the massive viewing window they have, say, look, dummy, it's a sphere. And they would claim that they've been dosed by LSD and the MK Ultra program
they
and never been
Van
shut
Allen
down.
Belt. The Van Allen belt.
John, they could die and go to the pearly gates and St. Peter be like, you know, you're wrong about the flat earth thing. And they'd be like, because what really happens is it's a thing with the edges and
some kind of
who
ice
guards
wall.
The ice wall on Antarctica or whatever it is? Which one is that? Antarctica or the other one? I don't know.
I mean, couldn't they prove it to themselves if they just started walking in a straight line and never stopped?
Have you seen them do the flight tracker bit? That's some of the best stuff you'll see.
No, I haven't.
Like, see how no planes ever fly over here and then planes fly over it?
God. And John, what do you think about the people that are going to march on Area 51?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Let's go to a highly secretive or not as secret anymore government facility and march on it and see what happens. You'll end up like that dude that tried to raid the ice place. He ain't doing so well.
Which dude's that?
Come on now, Bear.
No, I promise you.
The guy that decided trying to firebomb the ice facility would be a good idea.
No.
You got a tap and a long night's sleep forever.
No, my friend Chance Collins talked me into about a year ago, just swearing off any kind of news programs, and my anxiety level dropped immensely.
Any thoughts on Jeremy Pruitt's suit today tweet?
I'm going to try to be nice, but is there not somebody over there that can dress the man?
Well, you basically called him stupid yesterday. You called him a dumb guy.
You're going to be nice?
That suit does nothing to fix that. I mean, who would go out in public dressed like that? Got $4 million salary. You look like a clown. Nobody would buy that suit. Nobody.
Be kind.
Suit is hideous, repulsive.
I mean, I feel like it accents. Orange is a hard color to wear a suit with.
And dark navy, dark gray pinstripe. With that,
Bruce never had a problem with it. He always looked like
Bruce
a million bucks.
Fly. I mean, something.
Probably should have gone navy.
Navy would have been like an Auburn, maybe-ish. I don't know. I'd have gone maybe like a dark gray with that, you know, some shiny.
Rocky Orange Blazer.
Speak up for him. Part of the problem is that in that first picture we saw, he's standing on the tarmac out there at TAC Air, and he's standing next to three, guys in their early 20s who are in peak physical condition, and they look good in their suits.
What are the other? Batuli didn't even match. That was the worst tie jacket shirt combination I've ever seen in my life.
I just don't pay that much attention to it. I thought all three looked good.
Jackson Pollock painted. That's what it looked like. His suit looked like some Jackson Pollock painted.
Wait, hey, get out of here, Dwayne. You can't come on here. Those are student athletes. They're 19, 20 years old. You can't get on here and critique their choices of clothing. That's not okay.
Bye bye.
You can't do that. I mean, come on! What are we doing here? What are we doing here, Bear? What are we? What kind of
punching the
dog
clock.
And pony show are we rolling? Are we doing here?
Stay I was with trying us. To think of the top four worst moments in drive history.
Speaking of the top four, Parker has the top four at four coming up next, right here on Fan Run Radio. I have more of your phone calls on the way as well. Got the what you talking about? Champions League qualifier coming up at 5:15 this afternoon on the show, and we'll run down Trey Wallace coming up in hour number two. Stay with us.